The 2022 Sports Map Year in Review Show, does it continue? My name is Matt Pauly. It is fantastic to have you with us as we look back at everything that happened in 2022. And obviously, soccer was a big part of what did happen this year in the world of sports as the World Cup taking place. And for the United States, certainly some mixed results. They do get out of match play. That was probably the most important positive thing that happens. But then they go out with a thud in the knockout round when they fell to the Netherlands by a 3-1. Score. Other kind of notes from soccer, the United States, technically North America, but many United States cities are going to be hosting the World Cup in 2026. We learned which cities specifically would be hosting, most of them in the United States, some in Canada, some in Mexico. And one of the big questions for the United States men's national team is whether or not Greg Berhalter is going to be back with the club and running the U.S. men's national team next season. To get some of the answers on those questions, we're very happy to welcome onto the show. He writes about and covers soccer for CBS Sports. He is Roger Gonzalez. Follow him on Twitter at @RGonzalezCBS. Roger, thank you so much for taking some time today. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's start with the World Cup. The United States gets out of the pool round, but then loses in the first matchup in the knockout round. Successful, not successful? How do you evaluate what the United States did this year in the World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you have such a young team, the goal has to be to get out of the group as, you know, that's going to be kind of the minimum expectation for the U.S. But knowing that they had such a young team, that was always going to be tricky. So I think entering the tournament for me, it was, and for them, was, you know, getting out of the group would be that, you know, that first goal that they wanted to accomplish. So I think in the end, despite, you know, maybe not scoring as much and playing maybe not as exciting of a brand of game as they had hoped, it was still, like, you know, successful overall considering they made it to the last 16.
That brand of soccer maybe not being exciting, is that a case of, you mentioned it being young players, so you play a certain style to try to maybe limit goal scoring and even things out? Or is that going to be the style of the U.S. men's national team moving forward, even as these younger players get older and get better?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a mix. I think also there's, you know, some holes in the team as well that kind of impedes that style of play. You know, as a team that really doesn't have a striker that they can rely on. So that kind of changes how they have to do things. And so, you know, I think, you know, they're a team that, you know, they're based on a strong midfield that is certainly very, very young, is prone to mistakes. And that's always going to be, you know, kind of a challenge in trying to dictate the pace of the game. But, you know, there were moments where we saw the U.S. Look pretty average and moments where they were really, really impressive. So it's just about trying to find that consistency to become a team that can, you know, continue to grind out good results. And, you know, like we saw in the loss to the Netherlands, it's just those details defensively that are missing that, you know, gave three wide open shots on goal that the Dutch were able to convert.
Okay, so when you talk about details, and there certainly was some criticism of Greg Berhalter, is that deserved criticism? Is he somebody that you want to see continuing to be at the helm of this program going into 2026?
It's tricky. He's a nice guy. He's smart. He understands the game. And I think he's someone who, you know, has a strong relationship with a lot of these players. I think, you know, you see a lot of national teams kind of turn over their coach, yes, World Cup cycle to World Cup cycle. So, you know, I think if there was an opportunity to get a more established coach, that, you know, I think it would make all the sense of the world to try to do that. But, you know, when you consider that they were able to win the Gold Cup, excuse me, they're able to win the Nations League, and were able to get out of their group at the World Cup, I think those are certainly, you know, ticking the boxes of what U.S. soccer as a federation wants in terms of success. So, you know, it remains to be seen, you know, kind of what happens with his situation. I think he's done enough to earn, you know, more time and to see where this goes. But, you know, with some of these coaches that might be available that are, you know, potential, you know, ones that have won a World Cup in the past, international coaches, I think there's certainly an appeal there on both sides, especially for the coaches, though, thinking, you know, this could be a job to, you know, be the coach of the U.S. ahead of a World Cup that they're hosting. I think that's pretty appetizing.
Did Berhalter essentially do his job and do what he was hired to do, just to getting them qualified, getting them out of the group round, all the other things you mentioned? I mean, it feels like maybe the standard for the U.S. men's national team is higher now than it was, say, when he came in.
Yeah, I think so. And I think part of that is being able to land some players who had to choose what, you know, what country they were going to represent, specifically Serginho Dest and Yunus Musa. So I think getting two pieces like that, though, you know, they're still young, they're still raw, and they need time to develop. I think that certainly just bodes well for the future, considering that they've been able to kind of make their case for some of these guys who have to pick one country or another. Ricardo Pepi's another one who, you know, could have played for Mexico. So I think on that front, really on all the fronts, things seem to have gone, you know, fairly well. And for that reason, I think, you know, he certainly has earned the opportunity to continue.
As we look ahead to 2026, North America is going to be hosting of the cities. The United States has 11 of them: Atlanta, Boston, Dallas, Houston, Kansas City, L.A., Miami, the New York area, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Seattle, and then two Canadian cities and three Mexican cities going to be hosting as well. What's your takeaway on the decision on which cities specifically in the United States would be hosting in 2026?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it makes sense. Yeah, I'm based in Central Virginia, so I wish there was one a little bit closer to me. You know, I thought maybe Washington D.C. or Baltimore would, you know, get some games. Unfortunately, they didn't. But you know, I think obviously a lot of those venues make sense, and it's interesting just to think about, you know, how it kind of works with other countries where they have to build all of these stadiums for you know, to be able to host a World Cup. And just to think about, you know, all the venues that we have here and how it could be a very, you know, a fairly not a simple, you know, tournament to host, but it's certainly made much easier by having the facilities that we have. And, you know, there's even some rumbles about maybe the U.S. hosting the Copa America in 2024, which could be a nice little, you know, little run to test out these venues as well. And so I think we're certainly well situated when you think of, you know, stadiums like, you know, SoFi Stadium. You think about the Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas as well. So it's going to be interesting. And I'm sure a lot of these, you know, players that will be coming for the World Cup aren't used to having some venues that have roofs, right? It's very different, not typical for you know, soccer historically, but it's going to be quite the tournament. I think I'm initially concerned just about, you know, the expansion to 48 teams and how that might water things down. But on the positive side for U.S. fans, they shouldn't have to worry about qualifying for a World Cup really ever again, because it's going to be made easier for every team, considering, you know, more teams are participating. And of course, the U.S. won't have to qualify for this one since they're hosting.
So I'm the wrong person to ask this question, because I'm geographically based in St. Louis, and there's so much soccer momentum in St. Louis right now because of the MLS team that's going to be coming in, and it's already a great soccer community. But if you take a step back, with this World Cup, with the United States being able to qualify and get out of group play, now going into 2026 and so many United States cities hosting, just everything that's going on, does it feel like soccer in this country has as much momentum and interest as it has really at any point in time before?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I just think about, you know, I just look at my own job with CBS Sports. I was, you know, the first soccer writer hired there in 2015. Now we have guys all over the world. We're showing Champions League games on TV. I mean, just the excitement, the demand, the interest that there is, it's incredible. And that's only going to grow with the World Cup. You know, I tell people a decade ago, 15 years ago even, it was cool to see an American player at, you know, Fulham or Hanover. And now to have guys, you know, at so many big clubs, AC Milan, you know, Dest, who was obviously at Barcelona, Chelsea, Juventus. It's pretty incredible to see how the game has changed and just how the interest here in the U.S. has peaked. I can remember a time where, you know, my friends in college, you know, we were together at Virginia Tech. We loved to go to the football games. Now these are guys who are waking up in the morning to watch Premier League soccer when they weren't interested, you know, 10 years ago. So it's really cool to see how the sport has grown, and certainly only expect that to continue.
He is Roger Gonzalez. He covers soccer for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter at @RGonzalezCBS. Roger, thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
That is Roger Gonzalez from CBS Sports talking all things soccer. We'll talk American football next, looking back at the year that was for Georgia football right here on Sports Map Radio.